try not to compare myself to other Instagram accounts or other stores that have seemingly very popular Instagram accounts, because it's not a direct reflection of how well their business is doing or how well my business is doing. It's just one barometer for popularity.
Do you love your business? You should, right? Well, sometimes we just don't. It's my hope that this, the My Daily Business Coach podcast, helps you regain a little of that lost love by providing tips and tactics, tools, insights, inspiration, all the good stuff to help you actually enjoy running your business. In addition to actionable tips and tactics that you'll be able to execute immediately, you'll also hear from creative small business owners around the world who've been able to sidestep the hustle and build a business that merges their passion with their purpose and provides a profit. I'm your host, Fiona Kalacki, founder of My Daily Business Coach. Let's get going. Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the My Daily Business Coach podcast. Today you are in for a treat. I am interviewing an incredible small business owner who really has had to walk the line between life challenges, health challenges, and all of the challenges that COVID presented to small business owners in 2020 and continues to still present. Maggie May is an artist, and she is one half of the duo behind Think Thornbury, which is an incredible space for creatives and thinkers and doers and makers in the inner north in Melbourne in the suburb called Thornbury. And Maggie started off as an artist, and in this conversation, she talks about how she went from creating art, why she was attracted to that art, into actually having a physical store with her partner, Josh, who is a musician. He plays the saxophone in bands JK Group and 3070. Now, I first came across Maggie May, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago or so, and then we connected through Instagram, of all things, right around the time that I was kind of getting ready to launch this podcast, actually, and launch my book. And Maggie May and Josh are incredible supporters of that book, and they stock it at Think Thornbury. Thank you very much. But Maggie and I ended up, I don't know how we got from Instagram DMs to talking on the phone, and we just connected and hit it off. And I just felt that she's such a genuine, warm person who really wants to create a space that champions creatives, but is also for the makers, and also more than anything else, is a space that people know they can come to and find the absolute perfect, well-considered gift for their loved ones. So I started the podcast, and every single week I felt that Maggie was listening to the podcast and she was giving me, you know, feedback, and it was so, so, so welcome. And I knew that I absolutely had to have her on this podcast, and I'm so excited that she said yes. So in today's episode, we talk about what it was like to build a business with your partner, but also what it was like to then have that business be, you know, challenged in some way, celebrated in other ways by motherhood and by, more recently, COVID. And then at the start of COVID, her husband, her partner in life, Josh Kelly, being diagnosed with cancer. So any one of those things can be a lot to deal with, you know, running a business during COVID, having a very young child, or having your partner have cancer very unexpectedly. Of course, he's so young, not that you expect it with anyone, but especially not at that age group. And so I've watched her from the outset deal with so many things that have come her way, but continue to show up and be this positive beacon for her local community. Maggie is just such a transparent, honest, genuine person, and that really comes through in our chat today and in everything that she puts out there. So I hope you really, really enjoy this. I hope that you do take the time after listening to this to go and connect with Maggie May and Josh. You can do that on Instagram via at Think Thornbury or at Maggie May with three Y's and an underscore, and just let them know what did you really take away from today's chat and what really resonated with you. So here it is, my interview with the artist and co-founder of Think Thornbury, Maggie May. Welcome, Maggie. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. How are you feeling right now? It's been a crazy kind of 18 months to 2 years for you, and we're going to get started into that soon. But how are you feeling right now? How are you feeling from the last sort of year that we've had?
Oh, I'm feeling really great today. Like, today's been a really good day. This week's been a really good week. We've had a lot on and just juggling all of that and trying to get everything to coexist in a kind of like amazing little ecosystem in our world has been a challenge, but I feel like we've really managed it quite well this week. So, and that's been quite different to the last, you know, year and a bit. So we're getting there.
Oh, good. And I feel like, I mean, especially for you, but I feel like for anyone going through COVID, the whole world, I feel like all we can do is go, today was good, this week was good, you know, like just take it one bit at a time.
Definitely. Taking it day by day has been a really important thing in my life in the last year and a bit, of just like, what change can I impact today and what do I have control over, and not, you know, freaking out when real challenges arise, and being able to have like a really good humor about when challenges do arise and being like, okay, well, this is the situation we're in. How can we, you know, tackle it really positively?
Oh, thank you. And I should just say that you're doing that right now, because Maggie actually had to come on and record this again because I stuffed up. So this is the second recording we've done in a week. And thank you for being so incredibly positive about this experience. So you are living the talk right now.
Oh, totally fine. Like, you know, as with everything in life, like technology sometimes doesn't work exactly the same way that we hope or expect it to. And when things don't work out, it's like, all right, cool. Well, what can I do in this situation to just have good humor and be like, moving forward? And I want everyone to be able to take that, because, you know, when really, really hard things happen, if you can approach them with those same kind of like practice runs for life, of like, you know, maybe hitting record on a podcast is like the worst thing that could possibly happen in your week. But, you know, there are other things that are just, not to diminish, like,
No, so much more important.
Yeah, but you could have like, your life can just change so quickly and really dramatically in a way you never thought it could. And how you deal with that challenge, that's the kicker.
Yes, and you have incredibly dealt with so many challenges. We'll get stuck into that in a second. But people listening right now would have just heard me talk about Think Thornbury and how you and I came to meet and cross paths and how fantastic I think you are. But can you describe what your business is and all the different elements? Because, you know, you're an artist, Josh, your partner is an artist, and then you run Think Thornbury as well. So can you just talk us through the actual business that you run?
Think Thornbury is just like the culmination of all of the creative things of our life at the moment. So at the moment, Think is this amazing gift store in Thornbury. So we stock local makers and things that I find really beautiful and amazing and that would just make the best possible gift. And that's really come out of a huge background from Josh and I collaborating on it, of I'm an artist and I studied interior design and graphic design at uni. I have a degree in those. I did a year of industrial design as well, which was something that my family really wanted me to do. But, you know, and when you're 18 and your mother says, you should do this at university, you got into the course, I was the kind of teenager that did what they were told. And Josh was a musician and super creative and really interested in life. And we really wanted to build a business that kind of reflected all of our creative goals. So I had been working in the field that I trained in and then also working at this amazing t-shirt printing place, and discovered textile art that I just fell head over heels in love with, which has been around for a really, really long time. It's macrame, or people all over the world will call it lots of different things like macram or macrame. But I think you need to focus less on how to pronounce it and more on what it actually is. And then, you know, putting your own originality into it. I feel like the work that I make now really isn't what people would expect when they hear macrame or macrame. So I've been doing it for a really long time and or for the last couple of years. And I think that the work that I make now is just so, so different to what I was introduced to it as a craft. And I think it's the same with Think Thornbury. We want to be just so much more than your average gift store.
Oh, I love that so much. And you are so much more than, and I mean, that leads me into what I was going to ask you next, which is you just have this incredible passion for what you do. And you have a real love of the labels and the books and the authors and everything that you bring into your store and then, you know, bring into your community as well. Can you take us back to kind of the start? Like you said before, you studied these things and you got into making and became an artist, but were you like that as a child? Were you super creative? Was that just, yep, I can see my path ahead of me. That's where I'm going to end up doing something creative. Was that big in your childhood and upbringing?
Yeah, I think it was. I think I was given the space to be creative, which I think is the fundamental thing with creativity is like being given that space as a child to be like, whatever you're doing right now is just really good expression rather than it being right or wrong. And just feeling like anything I did within that creative arena would be encouraged and nurtured. So I suppose in that regard, I was incredibly lucky. And then within creativity, like, you know, making and doing and reading and writing, and it's really funny. I didn't mention this the first time we recorded the podcast, but I'm actually dyslexic.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah, I know. It's really, I thought about it afterwards and I was like, oh, I didn't even mention that. Yeah,
you're recording again.
I know. Oh, see, it's just like life presents you with these opportunities to just constantly do things and grow. And
yes.
When you react to them really positively and with good humor, you're giving yourself that opportunity to do it. So,
yes. Yeah. Yeah, so tell us about that. How was that growing up? And especially, well, you're a bit younger than me, but I know that I've got some friends that have that. Even my uncle had it his whole life and never knew until well into his 40s or 50s even. But what was it like? Did you know that you had it?
It didn't get picked up until I was leaving primary school. So up until that point, I think everyone just thought I was really stupid or that I had a lot of problems with like processing in terms of writing and putting things in order in my brain. And maths has always been something that I've really struggled with, which isn't necessarily a huge thing for people who are dyslexic, but definitely people who have a little bit of a processing difficulty. And once I'd done some testing at the Royal Children's Hospital and they said, yep, she's definitely got some things going on there and we just need to give her the space to be like supported and encouraged. And I definitely didn't feel that when I was in primary school. I got made to feel that I was really stupid a lot of the time because I wasn't keeping up with my peers, which was really, really hard. So creativity was like, and, you know, being in the art room at school, that was a really safe space for me to feel really encouraged and supported and like I wasn't getting things wrong. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I'm so sorry that you went through that.
Oh, thank you. It's like I feel like there's kids are trying to figure things out, and if you're constantly being told that you're really stupid and that the thing that you are good at, which for me was, you know, anything that came out of art class wasn't as valued as the other aspects of school life. It was really hard, and I felt really othered in school, and even in high school, which was a whole different thing. But, you know, I really loved reading and would quite often have like, and in high school, I'd have teachers where I'd be talking to them about the books we were studying. They're like, you've just expressed everything that I needed you to write down in an essay without me prompting you. Why can't you write it in the essay? And I'm just like, I never tested well. I could never sit down and write an essay. And it's something that I really, really had to work on as an adult. And that's kind of how I started my Instagram account too, because I used to take photos and then it was my daily writing challenge to add a caption to that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then Middle Isle, which is what the account was called, and now it's Maggie May_, because I just changed it recently. yeah, it was my daily writing challenge. And I ended up just writing these obscenely long captions that I would constantly get comments from people being like, I don't read the captions on Instagram, but I read yours.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And gosh, I'm so glad that we talked about this.
Yeah, none of this came out the first time we recorded. That was a breath run for this.
Yeah. Gosh, that's amazing. And I feel like, you know, so many of us go through different challenges in different times, high school or primary school. And even my son recently went through just this very tiny thing at primary school. And as a parent, you're like, oh, I want to protect you and never have you go through those things. But then you're like, that's how you build resilience. That's how you build empathy. That's, you know, you've got to go through that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And just like having that space is like, as a parent, to be able to like, how do I support this person that I love so much to go through those challenges?
Yeah, it's so true. It reminds me, I dated this boy once for a long time. I thought he was like the one. And when he broke up with me, actually, and I told my mum, and she said, yeah, I knew he wasn't right for you from the start. And I was like, how come you never said anything? And she's like, because you're an adult and you need to figure it out yourself. And I was like, oh, and she's like, I'm your parent. I can't, you know, I can't do that for you. Yeah, I totally think that's the right attitude.
Oh, Josh and I joke about that all the time because I'd had boyfriends before him, but he's 3 years younger than me. So I joke that I saved him from that bad adult relationship. He just went straight to me.
Actually, good one. Oh, and so speaking of Josh is your life partner, your business partner, and your business and your life for both of you have evolved and changed like so, so much over the last few years. Obviously, COVID has impacted everyone, but even prior to that, both just becoming parents for the first time. Can you talk us through what it was like to become a mum and then also more recently manage a huge life-changing health crisis and challenge with your partner? And I should point out again, Maggie May, you can go and follow Maggie May on Instagram, but also definitely check out Josh Kelly, her musician partner, who we'll link to in the show notes as well. But yeah, can you talk us through what it's been like the last 2 years for you?
What it feels like is just one challenge after another. And there'd be some days where I'd be like, can today just be not as hard because I really need a break because I feel like I'm going to just absolutely lose the plot because it has been so hard. We were just so incredibly fortunate. Josh and I had got married and he was leaving on his first European tour with his band 3070 to go over to the UK and they also did Europe and some of France. It was very exciting. And the week before he left was obviously a really fun time for us because it was also I think Thornbury's first birthday. And then by the time Josh had gone to the UK, I had to call him and say, hi. So we were really lucky the first month of trying for a baby, I got pregnant. And I feel really, really blessed that it did happen that way, even though I definitely was like, oh my gosh, how did this happen so quickly? Because I wasn't expecting it. I had thought it would take much longer and had been prepared for that. And then when I did fall pregnant so quickly, it was a real like, oh gosh, okay. And my partner's on the other side of the world and he'll be on the other side of the world for another 6 weeks. I was instantly incredibly unwell. And I was the first in my group of friends to be pregnant and have a child. And so my gauge of what normal morning sickness was like was just really, really far off. And it wasn't till Josh got back from tour and was like, oh my gosh, no, this is really bad. I'm taking you to the hospital. And that was when I got diagnosed with hyperemesis, which is like the very, very bad morning sickness. So my pregnancy was really challenging and I was also still working in the store full time. I was still teaching workshops as well, which was a hilarious concept. I think back on it now and I'm just like, how did I even do that? Because, you know, I'd have a full sold out workshop of really happy and excited women upstairs and I'd be like, I'm just going to pop downstairs to the bathroom for a moment, go downstairs, be horrifically ill and then walk upstairs like nothing had happened and like they'd have a great class and everyone left with 5-star reviews. But it was, yeah, it was a really, really really challenging time. And then I ended up having an emergency C-section because things went south there as well, and was in hospital, but then got back to work, and Remy was 7 days old and I was back at work, and Whoa. He was in the store with me.
No.
Yeah, it was really like we just didn't have an option. We had like one person helping us out in the store occasionally, but we were still really ad hoc. It wasn't like we're still just trying to figure out what we're doing, and the store was busy and growing, and yeah, it was a really interesting 12 months, that first year of Remy's life, of balancing all of those things coexisting and really, you know, growing the business whilst also looking after a tiny human. And I should also mention, when Remy was 4 months old, Josh went overseas again on the second European tour.
No, Josh.
Which was like, I knew it was happening, and Josh and I are co-collaborators in life, like our business and our child and his musical career and my artistic career, they're all equally important. So
yeah,
there was never a question of whether or not he was going to go. It was just how we managed it. And I will say, when I saw a picture of him dancing at a festival and I was at home with a very small baby, I was like, I'm going to divorce you. But laugh about it now. And I think that exists in every relationship. It doesn't necessarily matter whether or not your husband's on the other side of the world. There's times where you have to figure out all those things, particularly when you're new parents, and we would do it differently now, I think. And we are doing it differently now, which is exciting. But that was such a great tour for them and so incredibly important. And as it turned out, it was the last one that they were able to do until COVID hit. And on that tour, Josh was starting to have symptoms where he was increasingly unwell, which we were putting down to him being touring and a new parent and trying to figure out what was going on. And when he got back to Australia, we started to try and investigate it a bit more, because it just was becoming clear that it wasn't him just being really tired. And it still took a really long time, but Josh was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a blood-related cancer.
Wow.
Which is not something you expect to happen to your 28-year-old husband. And we were really hit for six. And he'd also was diagnosed after COVID had started as well. So he was diagnosed in the week of my birthday. So we were waiting for the results to come back after we'd finally found an immunologist to investigate it. And yeah, it was a really tough week.
Oh my God. Like, whoa, I can't even imagine. A new baby is a big enough thing, let alone trying to run a business during COVID and then having this. Oh my God, it's like triple whammy.
Yeah, it was really the trifecta of challenges.
Yeah. How did you cope? Did you just think I should just shut down the business? Like what sort of went on in your mind at that time?
Well, certainly at the start, when COVID was really starting to hit Melbourne and we had the first lockdown, and this was before Josh had been diagnosed, and so we were still just dealing with COVID and baby, we looked at each other and we're like, oh my gosh, do we just cut our losses and run, because we don't have a web store built and it's going to be an insane amount of work to get all of the stock online, but also how will we sell it? How would we close the business? What does that even mean? So I think we just did what we've done a lot of times, where we just doubled down and went, we just have to dig into whatever reserves of resilience we have right now and really just make it work, because this is our, like, for lack of a better word, dream. But this is, you know, this is what we've been building. This is what we've been really working towards. And we just need to trust in our own abilities and that we can make it work. So we got a web store together, which was a phenomenal amount of work. It's when you go onto someone's website and you just click through products and you kind of view it really quickly, you don't know how much has gone in there into the back end. Like, the web store is the last thing in all of these, like picking the stock, ordering the stock arriving, photographing the stock, or finding the photos of the stock from the suppliers writing the product descriptions, uploading them into Vend, which is our software inventory management system, and then figuring out whether or not that integrated with a web store, which we ended up using Shopify because they actually work quite nicely together, finding a template that we really liked for Shopify, which, you know, and then building that and making that look really beautiful, and then fixing our branding and doing the graphic design, you know, making sure all of the images look really consistent. If you go to the Think Thornbury website, I'm super proud of how consistent it looks. And that is just down to hours and hours of being on Photoshop, making sure that everything looks beautiful, because there's just nothing more annoying to me than when I go onto a website and it's not, you know, it's just this mismatch of products. And I always wanted our website to be better than a mismatch of products. I wanted it to really be a platform for the products to shine. And that's the same as the store. Like, if you come into the store, everything is on display beautifully. So I wanted the website to feel the same way as the store. So we were just working hours and hours on that. We closed the shopfront and started offering free local delivery. And that just took off, like, slowly at first, because I think everyone was getting into the groove of ordering online. And by the time we hit second lockdown, where there was the 5 kilometer radius in Melbourne that you couldn't go without.
I totally get it. I lived through it with you. Yes. Yeah. It's so traumatizing. We can't talk. 5 kilometer radius. It was horrible. You can
go 5 kilometers from your home.
And yeah.
That seems like a really funny thing to think about now, but it was like you were just locked in. And mm-hmm. I remember people being like, how do we, you know, live our lives and do the things that we need to. And you could only go out of the house once a day, and it was only one member of your family to do shopping. It was incredibly limiting.
Yep.
We felt that our service to the community was free local delivery, even though it took us time. And if someone was ordering a present for their friend or family member and they couldn't take it, we needed to approach that as if we were that person and we were their ambassador, and we just had to be the love in the present sandwich.
Oh, I love that so much. And you are, like, you're such a community-driven business. And a lot of people talk about that, like, oh, we're for the community. But, like, you're genuinely, you and Josh genuinely care about your local community. And I think with what's gone on through COVID, we just saw such love and a pouring of love and support for Think Thornbury from that community, especially with everything that, you know, you were facing with Josh's health issues. How did you build that community? Because that support and that love for Think Thornbury didn't just happen by itself. So was it intentional, or did it just sort of organically grow? And I guess second to that, what advice would you give to others who want to cultivate a genuine caring community around their business, but they're not really sure where to start?
I think the key is, like, the word that you said in there, it's like it has to be genuine. We want our community to support us because they're close by to us, which in one regard, like, your community can be far reaching, and it can also be, you know, your neighbors, the people who are in your immediate vicinity, and how you talk to all of those people. It just has to be genuine, and you have to be doing it from a place of, like, what are our values and how does everything we do connect back to those things? So doing free local delivery for us was incredibly time consuming and probably not as cost effective as if we just given everyone like free postage and stuck it in a post bag, like doing the delivery runs and things. And also, I have to mention that everything that leaves the store is gift wrapped. We don't not gift wrap things. Things aren't just put in a bag. So it wasn't like we were getting 30 to 50 orders a day and just putting them in a bag and dropping them on people's doorsteps. There was a handwritten note. It was gift wrapped. And that only comes out of a real love and a real generosity and being genuine of, like, I want the present that your friend bought you to get to you as if they had brought it to you themselves, because that's the connection that they're missing. And if we're a business in the area and we want to provide that service, then that's what that needs to be. And it's just, you need to apply that to your own business. And if that's something that you're trying to achieve, like, how does that work for you and your business? And it doesn't have to be, you know, from the scale of 1 to 10, like where do you want to hit, and be that for your business and everything you do. You can't manufacture that community. It doesn't just instantly happen. It happens over years. It happens over every conversation I've had in the store. I know people's names. I remember what they gave the last person that they bought a present for in the store. People come in and they'll buy just a card. And that card is just as important to me as if someone came in and spent $300, which also, again, seems crazy. But all of those genuine little interactions, that's what makes up our community. It's so important to treat everyone with that generous spirit, because that is what builds that community.
Totally. I could not agree more. And I know because I've bought stuff from Think Thornbury. Oh. Yeah, the wrapping is just beautiful. You're like, oh, and they're always for myself. So I'm always like, oh, this is fun. I get a gift.
Oh, the first thing you bought was an embroidery kit.
Yes. Oh.
And that's not even like, just because I know you, I remember seeing it, and that was in a day of like, you know, another 30 orders and feeling like really excited and like, oh, I hope she really likes it. And when she gets it and unwraps it, it's really exciting. And I wonder if it's a present for her or someone else.
No, it was for me, because I was like, I need to do things in the evening that are not on a screen, like watching TV or, yeah, so.
Oh. Those embroidery kits are just beautiful, and the lady that makes them as well, she's another local Melbourne creative, and watching her business grow and being able to send her back orders and be like, yeah, I need another 14, and her just being like, oh, okay, yep, I'll have them on Sunday. Good stuff. Yeah. Like it's, and just being really surprised and excited. It's really beautiful.
You are so excited and enthusiastic about everything that you stock. And I know that because my book is one of the things that you stock, and the amount of people that send me a message saying, oh, you know, I'm just through your book. I bought it at Think Thornbury. You know, Maggie was telling me how great it was. And I'm always like, oh my gosh, you're like my personal PR.
That's an amazing book.
Oh, thank you. But you do the same. Like when I've bought, you know, other stuff and you're like, oh, you know, this vegan book is amazing and this thing's amazing. And like you're really, really into the people and the stories behind what you're selling. You're not just like, oh, I need to have that because it's like a cool label that everyone has. So do you have a checklist of such for what you bring into the store, or how do you decide like who makes the cut? And I guess, where do you find these people?
I think that I'm genuinely interested and curious about what people are making and doing in my community. So I'm just constantly looking, and I'm constantly thinking about looking, and definitely is something that's this always open in the back part of my brain of like, oh, that's really cool. Could we put that in the store? That would make a great present to this kind of person that was looking for this sort of thing. And how does that work with the other things in the store? I really try and make sure that there's something for everybody at Think, and not necessarily things that I love all the time, because when you're curating a store, you need to think about your community. So we don't stock things just for the sake of having them. Everything there has a place and a really important purpose. And I take knowing what I know about the products really seriously, because I want to be able to educate and tell people exactly, like, this is One Pot Wonders. It's written by Jess Prescott. She's a local. This is her third cookbook, and it's amazing. The potato spice seasoning, which is on page 16 or 17, which I'd love if I got that right now, it will rock your world. Like, make a jar of it, keep it in the pantry. It's so good. Also, there's a salad in there that we make at least once a week because the dressing is just so good. And that doesn't come out of me just like being like, well, this is really great because you should have it in your house because it's the hottest new vegan cookbook. It's like, no, these are delicious recipes. I've cooked them. I'm really into them, and you will really like them as well.
Yes. And if I didn't already own that book, I would be rushing out to buy it because it made it sound so good.
Yeah. And there's always like really amazing new books coming out too. And that's not to discredit the books that were released 2 years ago. Like, mm-hmm. Katie McKinnon's Community is still one of the best-selling books that I have in the shop. Mm-hmm. She is just amazing, and she's written 3 books since then, and each one of those books is straight fire. They are so good.
So good. So if someone's listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, they either know your store or they're going to, you know, look up Think Thornbury on the website or an Instagram, what advice do you have for people who are listening who potentially are like, I would love to be stocked in that shop? Like, how do they get their pieces in? Do you have a way of working with stockists? Do you have something you're looking for in particular?
Sometimes it's a really practical thing of like, oh yes, we need another card to fit this kind of part of the store. We don't have something there. And other times it's just like, am I really excited and interested in what they're doing? I would think if you're someone who's making something and wants to be stocked in the store, you need to really look at that store first, because it's not just necessarily about whether that store wants you, but do you want to be stocked in that store? Because they're the people that are going to rep you and you want them to be excited about your product. And also just making sure that you're ready to be in a store. So having your wholesale list ready, making sure that your packaging is meeting the standards of the other things that are in the store. Like, so many times I've had people apply to be in the store and they come in and it's all loose and it's not ready to go. And it's like, well, actually, I need it to be ready. It needs to be a finished product. And what does that mean? Like, if you were selling this to a customer right now, what do they expect? Particularly knowing what price people will pay for things. So it's having that kind of clear perspective on your own business to be able to approach another business and say, I would like to work with you. How do we go about that? And being really respectful too. Like, we get lots of applications and I don't always have the time to get back to people. And it's not necessarily because I don't want to, but it's because I'm so incredibly time poor. And particularly in the last 12 months when, you know, I've been supporting my husband going through chemotherapy and looking after an almost 2-year-old, it's not necessarily that I don't want to spend the time mentoring and encouraging people, but it's also, it's not a free service that I offer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How important do you think, like, do you look at things like, say, brand story or kind of the supply chain, if people are making it or getting it made offshore, is that something that people should, you know, have that ready? Or do you feel like some people come in and are just sort of like, my earrings are cool, you should take them?
Oh, nothing annoys me more when I have people approach me or add things to their brand that say sustainable, organic, vegan, locally made, ethical. Ethical's a real buzzword, when there's nothing to back that up. Like, what precisely about your product makes it sustainable and ethical? Because if you're making things out of cotton and saying that it's vegan, of course it's vegan. It's always vegan. And there's no point trying to add that buzzword to it to virtue signal to people that this is safe to give to a vegan, or it's somehow better to buy that because of that. There's a huge thing in the rope selling world where people will be like, oh, it's supplied on recycled cotton cones. Yes, it's definitely on a cotton cone. That's how they come from the factory. You are then wrapping it in plastic. That is not sustainable. And yes, your product needs to be packaged so that it doesn't get dirty in transit, but also it's being brought over from another country. So it's not Australian cotton. It's not grown here. And that is a whole other, just like, you know, the way that we grow cotton in Australia is also really interesting and not without its own problems. And these are things that we really need to consider when we are starting new companies or we are trying to sell things, because you can't just add words to something and be like, it's sustainable. What about it is sustainable? Mm-hmm. Like, really clearly explain it to me, because I want to know, not just because I'm trying to like have a go at someone, but because we need to understand what those words mean if we're going to communicate that to our customers. Because if you're just saying that it's sustainable so that you can greenwash it and make your customers feel better about their purchases, then that's not something I'm really interested in.
I love that answer. And just putting responsibility back on people when they should have it, because I think sometimes people are like, oh, I'll just chuck that on and it will sell. And I think it's great that places like Think Thornbury are actually pushing back to be like, what do you actually mean? I think you know, we've seen it with other with food products that say natural, organic, and as if that equates to health. So there's so many areas that are kind of grey there. So in your business, which you've run successfully and despite many, many challenges, what do you think has helped you most with building that business? Have you had any mentors? Have you done any courses? Did you have to up-level on anything? Or have there been books or films or just anything that's really helped you?
I definitely, at the start of 2020, really started investigating and trying to educate myself better about what it meant to run a really successful business in terms of a profitability mindset, because we needed to make our business profitable and we needed to have an income from it. Part of 2020 was that Josh suddenly had no income from A, teaching, or B, making music, which had been something that we'd had to supplement our income. So suddenly it was just purely the shop and what the shop was bringing in. And I took that really seriously. And then again, when Josh was diagnosed and couldn't work, he couldn't even do deliveries, there's nothing quite like your partner, the person you love most in the entire world, getting cancer that really lights a fire under your ass of like, I have to take myself seriously and I have to be the person that provides for my family. So even whilst I was wrapping orders and working in the business, I was listening to podcasts. I was trying to find time to read books. At the start of 2020, when I started listening to your podcast, was one of the ones that I started to listen to. And I was like, oh, yes. And it was really empowering because I was like, I can do this. I really, you know, having that encouragement and breaking things down really, really helped. So I also listened to other podcasts, like listen to 7am, which is the Saturday Morning Papers podcast. Mm-hmm. And I listened to Hidden Brain, which there's a really great quote that's like, if you only have music, then you don't have music. And it kind of boils down to this idea that if the only thing you're focusing on is one thing, then that thing isn't going to be as good because you need to have lots of outside influences coming into it. So I try and think about what I'm doing within my business and myself as this thing that needs to be constantly nurtured from all different sources. And it's not just listening or taking advice from one source. It's all of those great, creative, interesting things that make the world so beautiful and dangerous at the same time.
Oh, I love that answer. And I totally agree. Sometimes I'll just be reading, I don't know, like some sort of fiction, and it'll be, I use this great online platform, well, this company called Well Read. And so Laura, who runs Well Read, it's like a subscription service. And so you get a book sent straight to your mailbox. I just do it every second month. And they're books that I haven't chosen. So it's always interesting to read them, I think. And yeah, reading some fiction that you wouldn't have normally chosen. And then suddenly you just get this aha, like, oh, that's such a good idea. I should do that in my business. And it's totally unrelated to business, like a business book. But I hear you on that front.
I have such good ideas in the shower, and that's where I listen to podcasts.
Oh, I know, you're always like, I just listen to it in the shower. How do you listen to it in the shower? Do you just have it really, really loud, or do you have some sort of waterproof like radio? Oh,
maybe we just have a really bad shower. It's really funny. We live out the back of the store now. When we first moved into Think Thornbury, we lived in this like self-contained unit that's out the back. But when COVID hit, we had to move into the workshop space. So the shower and the bathroom that's inside the store is like quite old and not as good. But I put the little Bose speaker up on the top of the shower and then I crank it.
Oh, I love that. Yes. And so aside from your Bose speaker, what other like technology do you just can't live without when it comes to your business? You've mentioned Shopify. Obviously, I know that's a big one for e-commerce brands. Do you have any other kind of tech tools or platforms that you just die without?
When we first opened the store, we wrote paper receipts and managed our stock with with spreadsheets. And as we grew, that got really problematic, particularly because I now have a box of paper book receipts that I have to keep forever, or until my accountant says that I'm allowed to throw them away. But we switched over to Vend, which is a software inventory management system, and it just makes my life so, so much easier. It integrates with Shopify, so I know what stock we have in the store or what we should have in the store, which we can then do stock takes, and it makes ordering much easier. I don't, like, in the early days, I would physically have to go into the store and count how many things I had and say, like, how many Bonlux candles do I have left? And now I can just pull up Vend and go, oh, I've only got four left. I really have to place another order. But I think in the beginning, I wasn't aware of where our stock levels were. And so I was missing opportunities to reorder and have that stock in the store when it needed to be. And now it's way easier to manage it and it's much more intuitive, which anyone who's listening to this and or has a small business is like, oh my gosh, they didn't manage their store with a software-based system when they opened it? That's crazy. And it's like, well,
no, you're not crazy. I've had friends who have stores for like 7 years and just did it on pen and paper.
Yeah, and that's how I'd been trained to do it in other people's stores. And so that's when I knew. And I think that was, you know, coming back to education and doing things better in your business, like that's one thing that really, really changed my life in terms of being able to order stock and figure out what we're looking at and being able to have a really clear look at where our margins are and how important that is for our profitability as a business and being able to continue to keep doing the beautiful community things we need to do, because at the end of the day, we're still running a business and it definitely needs to be profitable.
And I think that comes back to that whole idea that you had about, I'm going to step up. And obviously you had a huge incentive that, you know, does not happen to most people. But I think, yeah, everyone I work with, I'm always like, you've got to look at the analytics. I know that, you know, I'll hear a lot of the time, oh, I'm not a numbers person. And I think a lot of times people just sort of go, I'll do that at some point. But I, and it will be, you know, sometimes 10, 15 years and they still don't know their analytics. So yeah, I completely agree with you that the more knowledge you can have, the better.
Oh, this Christmas was a game changer. I was able to look back at what we did last Christmas and the Christmas before and be able to see which things people were really loving in the store and then identifying them and being able to grow and develop our own Think Thornbury products, which is something I'm really proud of that we did. We did a beautiful candle with Bonlux, which I remember when I placed the order and I was like, okay, we're going to get these and hopefully they sell and people really like them and I'm not left with all of these candles that I can never get rid of and they sold out. We're about to do a re-release of them because they were just so incredibly popular and I'll do a pre-order for them because it's just lemon myrtle, black pepper and tea tree. It's a candle that just like it sings. It's called Happy Days Are Here Again.
Oh.
And it was like, it was so lovely seeing people come into the store and being like, oh, I wasn't even coming in to get a candle, but this is just, it's everything that Think Thornbury is. And that is based off, you know, being able to look at what things people really love in the store and which brands we really want to work with and support and how we can do what we do better all the time. We also did a 2021 commemorative tea towel with a local artist and I love it so much. It's just so fun and joyful. And we did a soap with Soap Club, which matched the candle. So it was this really beautiful set. And they, again, I was like, are we going to be left with all this soap? And we weren't. They sold out. There are still a couple of the tea towels because I think they're a really specific thing. But if you're wanting to like get in on the ground level of like, you know, we're going to do those tea towels every single year. It was actually cheaper to print them on linen than it was on paper. And I was like, well, of course we're going to do that. That's a product that will last and will have a use outside of that primary use, which is the calendar for the first year.
Oh, I love that so much. So on that note, like you obviously know your stock is, yeah, you know, the people that are putting their product in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can go to them and be like, hey, we should do this. One thing I know that's also helped build your community, and you mentioned it before in terms of just your own kind of challenge with writing, is social media. And so I know that, especially at the moment, and I think here in Australia where we've seen this massive shutdown of media on channels like Facebook because of, you know, Facebook wanting to continue to make its money, and being a business, after all, that's what it is. I think sometimes people can forget social media.
It's so funny when that happened, the day that it happened and the news was turned off, or like, and everyone's like, how could we have possibly seen this coming? And I was like, I knew about this because I listened to 7 a.m. and they were talking about it last year on the podcast. I knew this was coming.
Yes.
Like, yeah, being interested and curious about the world, it pays off. Or, you know.
It does. And also, I loved how like all these, you know, like The Guardian and everything came out like, hey, you can still get your news on the actual news platform.
Yeah.
Come on over and read us.
I took the opportunity that day to just be like, hi, I hope everyone's got their Guardian subscription up to date because, you know, independent journalism, that's where it's at. Like,
yes.
Saturday paper, Paul Bongiorno. Oh, I love that person.
In our house, we're like addicted and obsessed with Raf Epstein from 74. So he's like the number one celebrity in our house. So if anyone knows him who's listening, please tell him that I love him. My question was actually around social media, because I know I was going to say because of that thing that happened recently.
Yeah.
And before that, anyway, there's been a lot of like, there's always love-hate relationship between small business and social media because people feel like we need it. But then at the same time, I know so many small business owners will feel comparison when they get on there. They'll feel like, oh, no one likes my posts or no one's liking this. I guess, how have you kind of worked with social media to help your business? And I guess, what advice would you give to people potentially who are just starting out? And it is harder to grow your brand on social media these days. But yeah, what advice would you have? And I guess, how have you used it for good and not bad, but for good, for all kinds of purposes?
I think remembering that it's a pay-to-play platform, and that sponsored posts will always be pushed above organic growth because at the end of the day, they're businesses, and that it's just one method of communication. And also that social media is a barometer for popularity and it's skewed. It's not true. Like people can buy followers, brands can have like huge followings, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're a profitable business.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking it with a grain of salt. Like, it's definitely feels really great when you post something and you get a lot of comments or you get a lot of likes for it. But what does that actually mean in your business? Because if that's not translating to sales, then it's just the optics of it. Mm-hmm. So I try not to compare myself to other Instagram accounts or other stores that have seemingly very popular Instagram accounts, because it's not a direct reflection of how well their business is doing or how well my business is doing. It's just one barometer for popularity.
I love that and completely agree with you. And having seen the back end of so many different businesses over the last few years running my business, yeah, I totally agree. I've had people who are, you know, earning millions and really great profit margins and they've got, you know, 600 followers. And then I've had other people equally that have, you know, 50, 60, 80,000 followers and even over 100. And they've got two extra jobs because the business isn't bringing anywhere near what they need to survive. So I completely agree. And just, yeah, going back to that thing, like when you were talking about understanding what your inventory is, like just that knowledge of your metrics with social media. Is it working for you? Is it doing what you want it to do? And not getting tied into like, oh gosh, I was talking to a client the other day actually who said, oh, some social media person told us we need to be posting like this many times a day, every day. And I was like, and what impact does that particular channel have on your, you know, sales? And they were like, we have no idea.
Yeah.
That seems to be the mismatch all the time.
What energy are you putting into that platform? Yes. And like, how is that returning to you? Because if you spend your whole day setting up things for Instagram or posting and commenting, but you're ignoring the actual customers that are in your store, it's not really a recipe that I think works. And there's definitely times where we just will not post anything on the Instagram. And I'm like, oh gosh, I really need to post something, but it feels disingenuous. And unless I've, you know, today and yesterday, we've been training new staff in the store and the stores have been really busy and we've had lots of people, and that's where my focus is. Marketing is something that you need to be doing, but it can't just be that one thing. And Also remembering that particularly for a gift store, like if you're buying a present for someone, that's a little piece of marketing that's going out there right at that moment. Mm-hmm. Like how are you packaging your product and how are you making that person feel so when they leave that that's a really like they're a little, you know, ambassador for your brand going off into the world to be like, oh my gosh, I love stopping into that store and I love everything that's there and everyone who works there is so nice and friendly and genuinely cares about what I'm getting and maybe I didn't find the right thing. Like another thing we do whenever someone is buying a present for a new parent, I tell them about Mama Goodness, which is another local business which delivers postpartum meal packs.
Oh.
It is genuinely like, and that might mean that they might not buy something from my store, but I know that that's the right gift for that person at that time.
Totally. And it's having that abundance mindset. I feel like that if people come and they're not the right fit, I'll be like, you know what? This other business coach, she's awesome. Or is this person who specializes in your niche? You should work with them. So yeah, completely agree. And that comes back. So what is one thing you would do differently if you were starting out now, do you think? Is there anything you would do differently?
I'd set up our company from day one as a company and get all of our bank accounts. Like we had a bank account, obviously, when we started, but Josh and I started the business as a partnership rather than as starting up the business as its own entity and paying ourselves a salary. Paying me a salary has just been life-changing. And it also works for a whole range of reasons, which if you're a small business owner, you should talk to your accountant and your bookkeeper about setting up those structures and having a really good bookkeeper and an accountant from day one that understands who you are, what your goals are, and how they can work with you. Having that team around you, so, so important.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I'm often saying to people whenever they talk about money, I'm like, do you have a good accountant? Because that is going to be like, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And these people are specialized. Same with bookkeepers. They're specialized to be looking at all the different ways that they can, you know, save you money in the long run.
And help you really build your business and grow the asset that you are putting all of your heart and soul into, because they'll look at it from a very, very like purely numbers-based perspective and say, what are the margins? How much energy are you putting into this? Because that thing that you think that you're making $80 on, if we add all of these other things into it, including your time, and you're only making $20 on it, what does that actually mean for your business and how can we do this better?
Totally. I love that. And so I guess as we come to the end of our chat, round two, thank you for doing this again. What are you most proud of from your journey owning and running Think Thornbury together with Josh?
I'm so proud that we're still here. I really am just so proud that we're still here because particularly in the beginning, like I don't think that people really thought that Josh and I could do it. And I was laughing with another business owner the other day about this and being like, I think people thought we were crazy opening up this, you know, gift store that also hosted workshops. And we laughed and he was like, yeah, I definitely thought you were crazy. And it's fine. We have like a very good relationship and we, oh, how we laughed. Yeah, I don't think that people thought that an artist and a musician could do this. And in many ways, Josh and I didn't have the experience that we needed to do what we were doing. But in a lot of ways, what we lacked for in experience, we made up for in just like sheer enthusiasm and hard work. And it has been hard work. It has been such hard, hard work. I've got, you know, when we were building the store, there's photos of me, you know, sanding joinery at 3 a.m. in the morning, building the store. And finding the stockists in the beginning when we had no runs on the board and people didn't know who we were and getting them to trust us with their products, that was huge too. So just being able to build the store from absolutely nothing to something that, you know, is really a thriving business that can give back to our community and can support local artists and makers, it's something that I'm really excited to see grow and keep doing because, yeah, I really just want to be a positive force for good in my community and this is the way that I can do it.
Oh, I love that so much. And thank you for everything that you do. And as someone who's bought from you, but also as someone who is being stopped in your business. That sounds a bit wrong.
It really is just such a fantastic book. And, you know, Mike from Kenny Lover, which is the ice cream store next door to me, came in the other day and was just having a chat. And I was like, have you seen this book? No pressure to buy, because like she has a podcast too. And it's also a fine line of people who are friends coming into the store and being like, hey, have you seen this? And it's not a sales pitch. Like, you should check out the podcast and then come back if you are interested in the book. And he was just like, yeah, brilliant. So I think there is that trust in my community now that people know that if I'm stocking something and I say that it's really good or I really love it and I'm like, just, you know, give it a go, see what you can get out of this. It's genuine.
Thank you. Thank you again. And so what is next for you and where can people connect with you? Of course, we'll link to all of this in the show notes, your website, which is thinkthornbury.com, and then the Instagram at thinkthornbury, and then you specifically. Is it better for them to go at Maggie May with the three Y's and the underscore?
Yeah. Yes. No, I mean, I'd love to see you following me on Instagram or saying hi there, particularly if you're not in Melbourne. But the best way is always to come into the store and say hi and introduce yourself. Let me help you pick out a present, because that's what it's all about. And our website's great too. It's a real menu for what we have in the store. Not everything is on the website. It's still very much a work in progress because we're just adding new things all the time.
Yes, I love that. And yeah, definitely check it out, especially if you're outside of Melbourne. And also check out Josh's music at Josh Kelly Music, and we'll link to that in the show notes.
A humble brag for my husband. Before he was diagnosed with cancer, wrote this amazing suite of music that was in the Melbourne Jazz Festival. And he was the young elder of jazz that year for PBS. He made this amazing piece of music, which everyone should check out. It's called Displacement. He also, when I was 38 weeks pregnant, we recorded his first record, which is called The Young Ones, under his own group, which is JK Group. And they're working on a new 3070 record at the moment as well. So he's, alongside being just the most amazingly supportive business partner, this incredible artist that, you know, it's just breathtaking the amount of things that he's able to do and do the business and be this fantastic father that is just so invested in everything to do with Remy. He's really an amazing person. And I'm very lucky that, you know, he's my best friend and also business partner.
Oh, I love that so much. And I think like that just genuineness of the two of you and Remy comes across so much in all of your website, social media, and I think obviously in the store as well. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and sharing so much of your journey.
Sorry, thank you so much for having me. It's really wonderful. This podcast's been a huge source of support and inspiration and encouragement for me. So I hope that that's something that other people can get from me today too.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, goodness me, what a massive life-changing journey that Maggie and Josh and Remy have been on in this last 2 years. My goodness me, yeah, so many times during COVID I would chat with Maggie or, you know, DM, and I just think, my goodness, how are you managing it all? And I'm in awe of her attitude and, yeah, just everything that she's been able to build, especially with the community around Think Thornbury. Just so enamored with that store, and to Maggie and Josh, what Maggie and Josh have so generously given to that community since they started their business. So if you found that useful, I would love it if you would send me a DM or send Maggie a DM and just let us know what you most took away from that. For me, two things really stood out. One, being absolutely genuine when it comes to community and building that community by genuine relationships, you know, really asking people how they are and waiting for the answer and really being invested in other people's, you know, happiness, and also invested in the use of your product or your service. Like, what's it going to add to that person's life? And not just coming at it from sell, 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 but really I'm providing something that's really, really useful and beneficial and is going to improve that person who's buying the product or service their life in some way. And I definitely think Thornbury does that really, really well. The other thing that I loved that Maggie talked about was that it's so obvious that her and Josh are very, very clear on the brand values and the foundations of which they want to build their business. And I love that she talked about when she's meeting with makers or people that want to be stocked in her shop, she is then asking them, you know, why have you done this? Why is it like that? Why do you get them made here? Tell me about your business. Tell me about the process. Tell me about, you know, how you came up with that design. And that story and the why for the label or product that she's going to stock is just as important to her as, you know, I'm sure the price point and how many other kind of competitor shops have that in the area. But I think it's really, really important for everyone in business, not just makers, but for people to be super clear on why are you running a business outside of making money? Why are you running it? You know, what is going to keep you engaged in the tougher times? And, you know, Maggie has certainly had many of those tougher times. And I think she definitely kept coming back to the core of why do we have this business? And that helped her come through so many of the challenges that she's been faced with, or that the whole family has been faced with. So yeah, another massive shout out to Maggie for coming on and sharing her story so openly and so eloquently. I really, really appreciate it. So if you would like to connect with Maggie and Josh, you can do that via Instagram. They're at Think Thornbury, and Maggie is at Maggie May with three Y's and an underscore. As mentioned, Josh also runs the business and he is a musician as well. And you can find him on Instagram at Josh Kelly Music. Definitely jump online and check out Think Thornbury online, or if you are in Thornbury, which is in Melbourne, go and visit them. But you can find out their address and see all the amazing things that they sell and do a little shopping at thinkthornbury.com. And we will, of course, link to all of that in the show notes. The full transcript of this episode will also be available in the show notes, and you can find all of that over at mydailybusinesscoach.com/podcast/78, as this is episode 78. If you found this useful or any of the previous episodes useful, I would absolutely love it if you hit subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And if you might just have 10 seconds to leave us a quick review, it just helps us really, really get found by other small business owners across the globe so they can learn as well. Thanks again for listening. See you next time. Bye. Thanks for listening to the My Daily Business Coach podcast. If you want to get in touch, you can do that at mydailybusinesscoach.com or hit me up on Instagram at mydailybusinesscoach.